Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Melissa Rivers joins us, tells us some stories about her mom, and some of them are kind of insane, especially the last one she tells about infidelity. Found it very fascinating. We got the news coming as well. First, I'll tell you about J.B. Weld, World's Strongest Bond. Pros have trusted it for over 50 years, but why hire a pro when you can work like a pro? With J.B. Weld, we're proud to have J.B. Weld Epoxy, and their adhesive brand is a sponsor. I personally know the owner, hung out with these guys at their booth in SEMA, and now here they are, sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show. DIY projects, auto, crafts, plumbing, marine, and more. And you can use them on, use JB Weld on metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramic. Keep it in your kitchen drawer, down in the garage. I use it to fix Sonny's shoe. I use it to fix Natalia's cold roller. I use it to fix some stonework in front of my house. JB Weld also acquired Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for a good truck bed liner, it is Herculiner with J.B. Weld, right, Dawson?
J.B. Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, J.B. Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. J.B. Weld, world's strongest bond. Do you want to be a part of Adam's next book?
Shit, yeah!
Submit your questions for Ask an Asshole by emailing them to askhole@adamcarolla.com. Please include your name, age, and location. Ask about any topic you need the Ace Man's advice or answers on. That's A-S-K-H-O-L-E at adamcarolla.com.
Melissa Rivers is in studio. She's got a podcast out called Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I did the show back in January,
yeah.
I think it was.
It was fun.
I agree.
You had a lot of we actually did a topic, which was the sort of the state of comedy.
Mm-hmm. I had thoughts.
Yes, you had a lot of thoughts. And I might have to steal asshole.
Yeah, that's good, right?
That's a great one.
So we were talking off the air about 7th anniversary of your mom's passing coming up.
Yeah, in September, first week of September.
Yeah, I think.
It's a way to ruin Labor Day weekend.
I feel like we could have used her during this trying time.
Oh, my God. You think?
With everyone being silenced and sort of told to mind their P's and Q's, especially comedians. We could have definitely used her voice.
Yes. First of all, I get asked all the time, do I think she would have been canceled? What would have happened? I like to think that she would be sort of grandfathered in. With, mm-hmm. like, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, she's cancel-proof.
Yeah, that it's one of those people that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you see, the thing about the canceling is there's part of it's kind of a tacit agreement. You have to kind of agree to be canceled. To the
yeah.
extent, now look, if you host The Bachelorette and you get fired, then you didn't agree to that. But he did agree to it by apologizing. He shouldn't have apologized. And now you're in a position where when you apologize, you're essentially admitting you did something wrong.
I think
you're in that position. Your mom couldn't have been canceled because she would have carried on and her audience would have filled the venues and you couldn't cancel her if you tried.
Right. No, I agree. She was not a big one for apologizing. I think she's only apologized. I think in her whole career, I think she apologized twice, but she did apologize personally to certain people who something really hurt them or hurt one of their kids.
Oh, wow.
So there was – this is 1,000 years ago. She did a joke about Willie Nelson, and it had something to do with, like, he wears rope on his soap as jewelry or something like that. And it was very innocuous. Mm. And she found out through someone it upset his daughter.
Oh, my God.
And she took it out of the act the next day.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
Soap on a rope was a thing.
Yeah.
And it's a joke because Bumpkin would wear it like a medallion.
Right, exactly. That
and
was
upset his was daughter.
Out of all the jokes in the world.
Right.
Was the joke was pigtails?
No, it was about
being a dirty hippie kind of guy.
And she found out that it upset his daughter. So literally the next day it was out of the act.
Hold on. I do remember actually hearing your mom do that joke.
Yeah.
And there's a part – Melissa left out, which is he said Willie Nelson such a bumpkin, or she said Willie Nelson such a bumpkin. He wears soap on a rope as a medallion, and his daughter's a fucking retard.
I don't think she said that part. She left it out.
That makes more sense now.
It does, but no.
Watch the special.
Yeah, no.
I remember laughing. I thought it was funny. Yeah.
No, she never made and that was actually a rule we had on Fashion Police too. It could only be someone who has opened themselves up to be a public figure. Mm-hmm. We would never discuss what anybody's wife was wearing or anything like that unless they implicitly discussed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that wasn't fair. My mother wouldn't make jokes and we wouldn't talk about people on Fashion Police that were not fair game.
Right.
You're not going to discuss, you know, someone's mother who's their date.
Right.
Right.
And never kids.
No, never kids. Well, that's a benign, bizarre one for Willie Nelson's kid to pick out. And who would have guessed that Willie Nelson's kid had delicate sensibilities?
Right. But again, the whole point was it was out.
Any other apologies that come to mind?
There's been
modifications in the act.
There's been a couple, but I mean, we're talking about a 50-year career. So, I mean, that's one I distinctly remember. And that's.
Do you remember one where anyone in her circle or publicist or something said, "You've got to apologize for this," and she said, "Absolutely not."
Oh, that was like a daily phone
call.
Got it. And by the way, that was my teen years in childhood. Like, Mom, stop talking about me. You're embarrassing me. Well, she's like, "That's what's paying for private school." You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know,
got a point.
Touche.
Yeah.
Who's in possession of her famous catalog?
Me.
All the index cards? Are they all index cards?
Yep.
It is
digitized. I did go through and
had the whole. You scanned it and everything?
I never know if I'm supposed to say archivist or archivist.
Archivist, I think.
Yeah, it's one of the two. It's like Caribbean. I'm really not sure which makes me sound more sophisticated.
Mm.
But we did have everything scanned, so we have a massive database, but I actually have the cabinet.
Mm-hmm. Were they alphabetized?
They were alphabetized and cross-referenced by topic and person.
And
wow.
There were literally 3x5 cards.
Mm-hmm.
And so could you go back to 1987 and pull some jokes about, I don't know.
Oliver North jokes?
Yes,
North
actually jokes, she did have Oliver North jokes.
Wow.
And on the bottom of each card is a date from when it was put into the file, and then there are ones that, as people became popular or not popular, names changed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so
you can make a joke.
Yeah,
the number
of
people.
Sure.
Right,
yeah.
So a joke about, I don't even know, give me someone slutty from the past.
Anna Nicole Smith. Or that's all,
right, Anna Nicole Smith. Yeah. Then becomes, can it be tweaked and become
Miley Cyrus of that time.
Right, or those kinds of jokes.
Right. Mm.
And you would see the revisions and the dates. Oh, wow. It was
so interesting. It's funny. I'm always interested in all the different approaches because I remember one time I was talking to Leno and I said to him, like, oh, I thought of something. I got to write it down before I'll forget it. I got to write it down. And he was like, if you have to write it down, then it's not worth remembering. Like, his evidence
well, that
didn't
says
want to
a
write
lot.
Shit down.
That says a lot.
About Jay Leno and what a dick he is?
No, but just like, if it's funny, you know, you should remember it and not write it down. You know, you want to say...
I'm obviously being facetious, like I said, you should maybe
write stuff down and then decide if it's funny.
I forget shit all the time.
But like, do you have a cat, like a...
No, not like your mom. I have these buck slips, and buck slips just have like set lists and
do you know
ideas
how many
and stuff.
By the way, I find still scraps of paper, things written on napkins. When my mother, our whole family were huge readers.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been voracious readers. And thankfully, one of my mom's assistants was going through her books after she passed away to figure out which were donating, what were doing, you know, if people wanted, are there signed ones, what happened. First of all, in one of the books, she used to write notes in them and or like phone numbers. She had written Nancy Reagan's phone number in one of them.
Gave it away. Donated it to the
No,
library.
Thank God someone checked because it said like Nancy R. L. A. and a phone number.
Oh my God.
And we would find scraps of jokes written in margins.
Wow.
So, you know, that was a trip that it was hard to catalog. But I'll still open – the other night – I mean, it sounds so stupid. I pulled out one of my grandmother's bags to carry somewhere. I don't know why I went through boxes to find it. And I go in, and first of all, I found mints from my mother at the bottom. Mm-hmm. I found a packet of Sweet and Low and two napkins from airlines with notes written on them that were incomprehensible.
So always a Jewish mother to the very end.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like your mom would read a book, and then she'd be reading some idea or some thought that was in the book, and then it would spark something in her head, and she'd have to write a joke in between the lines.
Right, or usually on the front, inside the front flap or that. And she'd be on the phone, and she'd write someone's phone number.
Did she have – I don't remember. I think I saw it during the documentary about her, and you can help me remember the name of the documentary.
A Piece of Work.
Piece of Work. It's a great documentary. I think they remember going inside of the New York Manhattan apartment and seeing just festooned with things, tchotchkes, stuff, just one of these people that had a bunch of stuff. Is that a big, grand apartment? Do you guys still have that
apartment? No, I sold the apartment years and years and years ago. And we cataloged everything, and then I did, which some people remember, some people don't, the big Christie sale that was over the course of 2 days. And then I kept a lot, and then we did a second sale of sort of lesser items, and I gave a lot of stuff to her friends that meant something.
Do you feel – in a weird way, I feel like your mom kind of took the arc that Dolly Parton is currently on, which is people always knew who she was, maybe didn't take her very seriously, and then at some point became a national treasure. We all just decided. The same – Dolly Parton was on that arc too. Like, yeah, I know who she is. She's a joke. Or who cares? And then it's like, oh, she's a treasure. Oh,
but by the way, it's funny that you bring that up because I was thinking about that the other day. She was doing something else on like the Today Show. And it was like she's become that arc. But it's very hard for performers when they hit that point because you feel sometimes – and I know this with my mom a little bit, but more of it happened after she passed, which she always joked about, which was – trust me, she was always say, when I die, everyone's going to call me, you know, one of the greatest ever. And suddenly everybody's going to love me when I can't get booked on anything while I'm alive. but you got to be careful with that, that suddenly you don't cross into this weird state where they've almost put the person out to pasture. Mm. And it becomes too much of a look back when the person is alive. Like, that's always the joke at the Academy Award is like, oh, dear God, don't stand up. Sure. It means I'm going to die. Sure. You know, as soon as they give you a standing ovation, you, like, call your cardiologist.
It's such a delicate balance, too, especially depending on what you do, comedian, singer, right, et cetera, et cetera. Tony Bennett, obviously, is a certain age. He's a legend. He's institutional to himself. But, like, I'm a big Tony Bennett fan. I'm a big San Francisco Giants fan. And they used to trot him out before Giants games to sing, like, whatever, I Left My Heart in San Francisco or whatever. And it got sadder and sadder. It's like, this guy's old and he's not doing well, but now that he's capital B Tony Bennett, we have to have him here for the game.
Yeah.
It's like, let the guy live out his life.
But it's also, it's a very fine line because most performers are workhorses.
Also true.
And they, you know, my mother always said her happiest thing would be to drop dead on stage because she would be doing what she loved. And she always, her big joke was always, imagine if that happened. It would be, you could dine out on that for the rest of your life. You can always, I was there. Mm-hmm.
Was it, it feels so cliche, like growing up in the shadow, but was it weird or tough or surreal? I mean, Joan Rivers for her mom.
But you got to remember, and I know you and I have talked about this.
Bizarre.
Except that my mother was not Joan Rivers at home.
Mm-hmm.
It was very much
Joanne Worley.
Yeah, she was. She was actually was it Madam from Waylon and Madam?
Yeah,
an obscure reference that you,
I got
that
it.
You
Adam
that,
always get that.
First gay ventriloquist ever.
Exactly.
Maybe the last.
So,
you remember Madam?
Wait,
and
with the gray hair,
yes,
and the horn rimmed glasses.
Yes, yes,
yes, amazing.
It's the only time he had his hand in a woman.
Come on.
Well, could I just have thrown that right over the plate? That was like a meatball for you to swing at.
Fine, Waylon and Madam, but sorry, yeah. Chris. I never thought of it. Because I was young, I didn't know what gay was, but now that I think about it, sorry.
So, oh, no, I mean, the easy answer is that's not who she was at home, you know. And I always say to people, it's really interesting because my friends I grew up with and my friends from college, and some of them after school started calling her Joan, which always sounded weird to me, still called her Mrs. Rosenberg.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Oh, right, right.
You know, and or Mrs. R. And that's how the phone in her apartment was answered till the day she died, Rosenberg residence.
Oh, really?
Oh, there's Waylon and Adam.
And was he even a ventriloquist?
Yes.
Or was he one who talked while...
No, he was a ventriloquist.
Oh, yeah, you would know. Surely I opably opened for your mom a dozen
exactly.
times.
I saw every... That's right? The thing is, people don't realize I literally got to watch every major performer from backstage.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Now we have to talk about this because your mom's... You guys live out here. She must be going to Vegas frequently, 80s, 90s, God knows... And
70s.
Beyond 70s, what, you know, Tony Orlando and like who
she
knows
opened for
what,
Tony Orlando
what acts are she opening? And at some point, she goes from opening act
to headliner,
and then Waylon is opening for her. You got to find me footage of this,
Waylon.
Yes, but like, who did you see back in the day?
God, you know, it's so funny.
Whose backside did you see?
Yeah, I was, and I look back. And I realized how fortunate I was and how much I learned about being a performer watching all these people.
Sure.
I mean, she used to call herself the strip slut because she would open for anybody. She didn't care. Long before she became a headliner, they were giving her headliner money, but she didn't want a headline. She didn't want the pressure of it. And then eventually they forced her to do it.
Who would she open for?
Oh, God, who didn't she open for? Mac Davis. All the time.
Mac Davis. You know, Mac Davis. Well, first off, baby, don't get hooked on me.
Barry Manilow.
Baby. I don't know any songs. Yeah. Don't get hooked on me. Yeah, I only know Mac Davis songs. Because I'll just use you, then I'll set you free.
Stop and Smell the Roses.
Oh, yeah. So Mac Davis was like a country singer who wrote a bunch of hits. Oh.
Including In the Ghetto.
In the Ghetto.
Is
right.
One of the most amazing songs ever.
Hold on, the creepiest.
Oh, this would be canceled now.
It's so creepy. And it's starting. There's a part where it's starting to worry him.
Yeah.
He can't control himself.
Well, because she's a hot-blooded woman child.
Oh, boy.
I ain't ready for no family ties. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he just wants to get laid. Nobody's gonna hurry me. You gotta wait till you get to the hot-blooded woman child.
Oh, yeah. Just keep it friendly,
girl, because I don't want to leave. You'd have to leave if she got arrested.
Don't
start clinging to me, girl, because I can't breathe. Everybody.
Yeah.
Baby, don't get hooked on me. He had a Jufro.
Of course he did.
Yeah, he did. Baby, don't get I mean, I can go down the list. Barry Manilow.
Wow.
Who, part of his act, I can still do.
Were they friendly? I have to know.
Everybody was very friendly, but again,
I met your mom and Barry.
Hold on, there's a hot-blooded boy.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, this is the line that would have gotten him canceled.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good, Gina.
Yeah.
So good, because listen where it goes.
Okay.
It starts creepy and it goes creepier.
Girl, you're a hot-blooded woman child.
All right, it's going creepier.
And it's warm where you're touching me.
Oh, yeah.
But I can tell by your trembling smile.
You want out of the back of the van.
It's warm where you're touching me?
Yeah.
Girl, don't let your life get tangled up.
You don't want to get tangled up with Mac Davis.
No,
man.
Obviously not. I'll
just leave you. I can't take no flinging.
Everybody!
baby, don't get hooked on me.
Hey, Chris. We're enjoying the shit out of this right now.
We got a barbecue coming up in love that month.
All right. So Mac also had a starring role in a major movie.
North Dallas 40.
North Dallas 40.
I'm a treasure trove of useless information.
That's fantastic.
But Barry Manilow, I remember she didn't open or work with Steve Martin. But when you were a kid on the strip, you got to go to everybody else's show.
Right.
There was like a little pack of us
mm-hmm.
who all had.
Like, how old were you?
Oh, God. Young.
Mm-hmm.
Young. But there was a whole group of us. And as we all got a little older, we were allowed to go to different hotels together in a group.
Like,
and
just a young, like, Mindy Davis.
No.
All the younger
no, it was like
kids.
Steve and Edie's kids,
wow.
Abby Lane's son and daughter, Neil Sedaka's kids.
Wow.
There was a ton of us.
Right.
And, you know, when people were in town, the performers all needed something to – remember, we used to do two shows a night.
Right.
There was the dinner show and the cocktail show, and it was 5 or 6 nights a week. You did one show on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And there's a great Tony Bennett story.
Please.
Which is, he always performed in black tie, in a tuxedo, except on Sundays, because Sunday was considered more casual.
Hmm.
This is like this, but so we used to go from like hotel to hotel, different pools, different days.
Liberace?
I saw Liberace perform a million times.
Oh, my God.
A million times. I saw Elvis. I saw this one. I saw that one. You know, you saw everybody. Because you were these kids, and like someone's nanny or someone would take us all to go see someone else's show.
And it was safe. It's good. Okay, we know where she is for 2 hours.
Well, and it was a group of us, right. And we would go to the game room, which we did at every hotel because that was like a big deal then, the arcades, and go see someone's show or go hang out in someone's pool and eat dinner in someone's dressing room. And
it's exactly my childhood.
Yeah.
I was like, you want to walk to Van Nuys?
Yeah.
You want to walk to Reseda?
Yeah, but that was, you know, there would be birthday parties. And I remember 1 year on my birthday, my mom was the Village People.
Oh,
was
good.
Opening for my mom.
Oh, my God. I would kill to see that show.
It was amazing. But again, I was really young. And I remember, I can't remember how old I was, but I was young. And they gave me the Sean Cassidy album as a birthday gift.
The Village
wow.
People did?
Yep. That was their
wow.
gift.
That was
to
the most
me.
70s thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Which was awesome. But, like, again, these are these crazy, you know, there was a great story I'm babbling on when Siegfried and Roy, rest both of their souls, were part of a bigger show. They were part of, I think it was Hallelujah Hollywood at the MGM.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this big commotion one time backstage, and there was a lot of screaming. And I guess one of the dogs from the dog act had disappeared. And the dog trainer was running back through backstage, screaming at Siegfried and Roy, "Your cat ate my act! Your cat ate my act!"
It's rare that a cat eats a dog, but in this particular case, it makes
we'll
sense.
You.
Which eventually they found the dog, but I remember that was like a big story. It was
the
like
stool.
your cat ate my act.
We have a Waylon Flowers, by okay. the way. So we'll see.
That was his
see,
name?
Waylon Flowers and Madam.
And Madam. So he must have been the first gay ventriloquist. Yeah. I don't know.
So I had a very unusual time. My mother went into labor on stage in
really?
New York.
Really? With you?
No, with her other children. Yes, with me. I'm an only child.
Yeah, I just want to make it clear to the people listening at home.
I don't know if it was kinescope or video, but she was doing stand-up very pregnant.
Very pregnant and went back. I mean, in those days, you weren't mandatory maternity leave or anything like that. Right. She was back, I want to say, on the Carson show in less than a month.
Oh, my God.
Well, I want to talk about work ethic for a second. But
first we got to watch Madam.
Waylon and Madam.
Yes. Tell me if we exaggerated.
Here's Waylon and Madam.
Girls, we've got to talk. All this about the perfect 10. I mean, who are they kidding? You know and I know you're never going to find one. I've been looking for years in places you'd never dream of going. And the best I've ever found was a 3.5. And that was in centimeters.
A dick joke?
But we
yeah.
never stop looking, do we?
Well, first of all, that's a puppet show because yeah. they're off
well,
of Waylon Flowers.
We gotta bust, we gotta blow the lid off this thing because I think he is moving.
I
his
think
mouth.
He might be
that he's getting no credit. Yeah,
yeah. yeah, after, yeah right. In all the videos, they just cut to a one shot of Madam.
Yeah,
it's an interesting conceit, which is he's not a ventriloquist. He's a one person puppet guy.
Yeah,
and he's he's like, focus on the puppet.
But at the time, I mean, again, this, we're talking back, I'm not even sure I had words.
He was big, by the way.
But I mean, I don't know why that reference came to mind, except that I don't know. I didn't talk to my therapist this week, so all sorts of weird stuff could be regurgitating up. I remember, like, that was a big deal. I think I was maybe like 2 or 3. Like, but he, Madam said like the most outrageous things at
right.
the time.
Body. Claimed by AIDS in 1989. What became
of Madam?
Are you just guessing?
Yeah.
Madam's in a box somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Madam's in the Smithsonian.
Oh. Where she belongs.
Yeah, next to Jerry Mahoney. I'm trying to think of what the other... Wasn't Jerry Mahoney... Guys don't know Jerry Mahoney?
No.
We're not being on puppet material from the 70s.
That was... Candace Bergman.
Candace
Bergen's father
right.
was a very famous ventriloquist, like worldwide. Right. Edgar Bergen. Charlie McCarthy.
That's right.
Charlie McCarthy.
Yes.
He was Charlie McCarthy's guy?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who's Jerry Mahoney? Now we've got to figure that one out. He died of AIDS-related cancer in 88. No!
No!
I said 89. I don't know.
You're way
I'm
off.
Making a joke.
How do you do that?
Talent.
Some of it is.
It's a talent.
It's a talent. No, but a lot of it is just sort of FBI profiler, which is, you know, the kid's abducted. It's someone they knew.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like in the neighborhood within 3 miles. Like this guy was a major gay act in the 70s. Mm-hmm. We got to the 80s. Who was gay? Who made it through the 80s? You know, when AIDS hit hard. Like,
did you watch the CNN?
Oh, the 80s?
Debacle of a concert?
Oh,
I didn't watch that.
You didn't miss much.
You mean with the big thunderstorm and everything?
So it would, when you said, you know, we were thinking Through the Rain, I don't know why I just thought that. But speaking of Barry Manilow, so they called the show halfway through his set.
Yeah, did you guys see that?
No.
And the best is he was standing there like, everyone's running off stage, and he was standing there like, what's happening? And he... Anderson Cooper was freaking out that they didn't get to get through Barry's set.
This is recent?
Yes.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah. I totally missed this.
Yeah, and Barry
CNN put on this
We
Love New York, like, we're coming back thing with all the Bruce Springsteen's going to headline.
Which didn't happen.
Yes.
And all these acts, a variety of acts in between, and a lot of celebrities and blah, 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 and the storm blew in.
So they shut down the show halfway through Barry Manilow's set.
Which was
supposed to be the big turning point in the show. And after that, it was it Meluna, Paul Simon, Elvis Costello, and Bruce Springsteen. So that was like the big pivot in the show. Mm. And they were all still backstage. And somehow someone convinced Barry Manilow to call in to Anderson Cooper, who was live on the air.
Oh, really?
And he started to sing, which was going to be his last song, was... I Made It Through the Rain.
Don't get hooked on me.
No, that would be coming from, you know, we have to have a seance for
boy,
for
you're hot blooded.
Oh, boy.
Man,
dude. And it's hot where you're touching me.
But I was just like, that's just random.
Do we not hear anything about Barry Manilow's, like, husband, partner,
he's
boyfriend?
Gay?
Like, where
Stop
is
speculating.
That?
Yeah, he's married.
Oh.
I don't feel like the guy's, like, flying under the. The radar or something.
He still sells out stadiums.
Under the gaydar?
Under the gaydar.
That's right there.
He sells out stadiums still.
Hey, I feel like I know Elton John's side piece, you know.
Yeah.
He's always showing up at places and stuff like that. I just don't feel like Barry's...
Gary Keefe.
Yeah.
Gary Keefe.
Yeah.
They've been together forever.
Well, you would know.
why I know these things, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you were there. I mean, I feel like you were kind of there.
I was.
Through osmosis. I mean, you probably weren't studying it, but you were just there when Waylon Madam were playing, and your mom was, they were opening for your mom, right?
I don't remember. She also opened for Lola Falana.
Oh, Lola
Falana. She opened for Tony Orlando and Dawn. She opened for Tony Bennett. She opened for, these are just the ones that are popping in my
You guys
head.
Remember Lola Falana?
I know the name. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
She used to be, her announcement was, please welcome Lola Falana, the First Lady of Las Vegas.
Oh, ooh. Really? That was in
and
the
that
writer.
Was like a family joke, which was Lola Falana, the First Lady of Las Vegas.
She was considered, was she black?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was like considered a black beauty, and she would be, I only knew her, not because I toured Vegas with my dad and mom, but because like Fred Sanford, you know, like she'd be punchlines,
right.
You know,
she'd
like
be the reference.
So like yeah. Rollo would come in and go, I'm going on a date, Rollo. And yeah. Who would Lola Falana? Like, yeah. Get out of here, sucker. Yeah. Like, it was like a lot yeah. of Lola Falana. Like,
yeah.
comedic sitcom writers decided Lola Falana was a fun name
it is
to
a
say.
Fun name.
Tony Orlando and Dawn, she opened for, God, this is like a million different, this isn't just the people she opened for. Tony Orlando and Dawn, Helen Reddy.
Oh, mm. I Am Woman.
Recently passed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But she was like the opening act everybody wanted till she started doing too well.
Mm-hmm.
And then people didn't want to follow her and they sort of forced her into the headliner position.
Yeah. I heard Lola Falana.
The First Lady pretty, of Las Vegas. Yeah.
Well, what's – but if your mom would go out there and crush it as
there
a comedian and then – a music act would go out. Wouldn't that be okay? Like, you wouldn't be a comedic act and follow her.
Right. I mean, it's just what people felt. Some, like, she worked with Mac for years. She worked with Barry for years. Those were people that were secure enough in their power as performers right. that it was just a great crescendo of a wave.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then at one point, she just, I remember her. A conversation where she and my dad were talking and said, I do not want to headline. I do not want the pressure of a headliner.
Sorry to take a turn for the macabre, but
please
how
do.
Old were you when your father killed himself?
19.
Was that crazy? Was mm-hmm. that devastating?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you talk about your therapist. Is that
It's
is
a
that,
running joke, yes.
Is that a thing? I mean, is that something you know you've
Thank you. That's with? What I needed. That's the really canned laugh.
Yeah, even this good. To this day.
Do I what? Well, I mean, a lot of work with suicide with I'm on the board of a place called D.D. Hirsch Mental Health Services and Suicide Prevention. And I've always been a suicide prevention activist or very active in the suicide prevention world and the message and getting people to talk about mental health. And take the stigma out of suicide and being the survivor of someone who committed suicide. And because when it happened with my dad, it was like this very shameful thing. Mm-hmm. Nobody would talk about it. And people would say, oh, it's genetic. And you're like, no, fucking not. You know, depression can have a genetic component. Suicide doesn't,
sure.
you know. And it became one of the worst things that ever happened in my life became something that is one of the most important things in my life in the way of where I find that my voice matters.
Was your mom able to go out and perform or did she have to take a sabbatical during that
period?
She
had to take a sabbatical.
Well, and he was representing her?
He was a producer and manager. Like, we always looked at, my mother always called her career the career. Mm. It was another entity in our life and we all worked towards it.
Wow.
And you grew up out here, right?
Yep. Been here since I was 3, meaning L.A.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You grew up in, where'd you, did you move around?
No, my parents moved out here. They lived in a rental for, I think, a year. It was decided, I suppose, again, I was 3, so I don't have, like, major memories of discussions. And, you know, the business moved out here, the Tonight Show moved out here, all these different things moved out here, and they bought a house in Bel Air, and that was that.
Was your mom, could she turn it off? Not, I don't mean with the comedy, but like with the work. Was she just
no,
constantly
both my,
driven to work?
As was my father.
They're yeah. just motivated.
Motivated. There was my mom used to needlepoint. And there was a pillow. She used to make pillows for all of her friends with funny sayings or whatever. And she had one in our house that said, vacations are for amateurs.
And what people work that way for different reasons. Like some is an insecurity or some is they come from poverty and they never want to go back or whatever.
It's mostly fear driven. And it was that way I with both of my parents. And I find that in myself, which is not a great thing to inherit, you know.
Well, unlike other jobs, so if you're a structural engineer, you can take time off and then you can come back and be a structural engineer. But like in show business, you take time off and you drop down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go back to opener versus like headliner.
But also you never want them to say, well, where are they? What happened to them?
Right.
Wow, I haven't seen them in a while.
Like Lola Falana.
The First Lady of Las Vegas.
We don't even know she's still alive.
But whenever you say it, you have to
the
text
First Lady
of Las Vegas.
What if I say, like the First Lady of Las Vegas, Lola Falana?
Yes, because that was
in her... Take a little bit of liberty.
Yeah, but that was in her contract.
Is Lola Falana still alive? And Mac Davis, I know,
died. Mac Davis passed.
Lola is 78.
Okay. Wow. There
Tell
you go.
Mike to book her.
She's on next week.
The First Lady of Las Vegas.
That's right. Go ahead, Gina.
You know what? My family loves your mother, loves you. I went to her one woman show on the West Side, you know, however many years ago. I'm just huge fan. And something that's always struck me is, especially when you talk about what a hard worker she was, it doesn't matter what interview she was doing, she always found a way to make sure everyone knew that you were the light of her life. And I always thought, yes. And at least that's how I took it.
Yes.
And I always...
Which is amusing to me because you have no idea how much time I spent grounded.
That is funny.
It's
because
true.
When you think of like, well, you know, my parents were a workhorse. They didn't really have time for me, but I get it now. But your mom, it was this wonderful contradiction of being like kind of the roast master, but loving you and loving her grandson and just wanting to make sure everybody knew it. And I just think that's such a nice balance. Did you find it that way?
My parents would literally fly through the night to get to a school thing where we were presenting our science projects. And they were, because that was one of the things I talked about, was if they were going to have children, they wanted to be there. Mm. And my parents flew, and up until I was a certain age, almost sixth grade, if one of them was going to be away for more than 2 weeks, the whole family went.
Wow.
And they would take a tutor for me. And that would be that. They felt so strongly that the family needed to be together.
So you weren't raised by a third party?
No, God, no. No, no, no. Sometimes I
wish.
Dream of what that may have been like, but no.
No.
I don't know the answer to this. Did your mom find love again?
Yeah, she was with, after my dad, she had one or two medium-length relationships, and then she found someone, and she was with him for quite a long time until she found out, ready for this one, he was cheating on her at 85.
Oh, man.
At 85.
He was cheating.
Right.
And you know how she found out? This is a good one. She went to pick up her glasses from the glass shop that they use, like to have her prescription change or whatever it was. And she would pick up his too, or whatever it was. And
what year is this? Sorry.
Oh, God. Let's see. She's been dead 7 years. So 3 years before that.
So how old was your mom at the time?
Late 70s.
Late 70s. So she's late 70s. She's dating 85-year-old.
Right. Maybe even 87 at this time. He was older than her. And she walked in and she's like, oh, we already, Mr. Lehman already picked up your glasses. And she's like, what?
Uh-oh.
And it turned out that he was seeing a woman named Mamie Van Doren, who was an old-timey movie star.
Mm-hmm.
And he had paid for her new glasses and picked them up. And my mom went, batshit. Batshit.
So glad I asked.
God. Batshit. She's like, who fucking cheats at like 85 or 87? And that's how she caught him.
Is Mimi Van Doren still alive?
I'm looking.
Yeah.
So she was a starlet, you know,
yes.
Big,
like a poor, but like a poor man's Marilyn Monroe. Yeah.
I believe she's 90.
She was like a poor man's Jane
Mansfield.
Like she was a couple below.
Yeah.
God bless him.
What? My mind is completely blown.
And I remember my mom calling me so upset. And her whole thing is like, he's 87. Everything I do for him, she's like, I give him a life.
So,
and it's true. She would just drag him around.
Was Mimi Van Doren 83?
I'm like Ron Burgundy. Yeah. I'm not mad. I'm just impressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
She's 80 probably. 10
well,
years
she's
ago,
what now?
And she's 90.
Oh, this is 10 years ago,
yeah,
right.
So she was probably 80.
The first thing that comes up is a comparison, a side-to-side comparison of her and Marilyn Monroe, showing that Mamie was a half inch thinner in every
dimension
category. Yeah.
Because that's the important
that's
thing.
That's important.
Wow.
But I remember my mom was pissed, and they broke up, and he went away with her in my
Mimi Van Doren?
I think it's Mamie.
Oh,
I shouldn't tell the story, but my mother's dead, and so is the gentleman in question. And she found out where they were, and she called and pretended she was his office and canceled their reservation at a hotel in France.
Wow.
I did not think I could love your mother anymore.
Is that not
wonderful?
They canceled their reservation. And then wherever they were going next, she knew they were already there. And she called and left a message saying, I'm so sorry, but there's been an emergency. I'm calling from his office. And can you please get all of their things packed and ready to go because they must leave. And I'm booking a flight. They are leaving immediately. And apparently they got back to the hotel and they had all their bags for them in the lobby.
That's great.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
That's the best.
And then started saying, like, Mom, you can't do this shit. Like, this is getting fatal attraction. This is like, no, get the bunny away from her.
So, I'm sorry.
I just got to jump in here. So, I'm looking at his wiki, and it says he was dating Monique Van Voren.
Monique Van Voren.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Okay.
Thank you. Sorry, not Mamie Van Doren. I apologize to Mamie Van Doren because I know she's an Adam Carolla listener.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're right. You can see how I messed up the names.
Monique Van Voren.
Monique Van Voren.
Yeah. Belgium. Yeah.
Very close.
Yeah. By the way, Mamie Van Doren, Monique Van Voren feels interchangeable to me.
And I agree.
Think she did pass last year.
But then we can look. Does she look like Mamie Van Doren?
Blonde.
Yeah, so they all look
starlet.
Thank you for correcting.
Apologies to the Van Doren estate.
Yeah. Apologies to the Van Dorens.
Last
she was a lovely woman.
How old was she?
She was 92.
I apologize to the Mamie Van Doren estate. I made a mistake. I confused her with Monique Van Voren.
But they look very similar.
And the names are alarmingly close.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
So that's who my mom had a hotel room canceled on.
Wow.
All right. So let me just break down the game film.
My head is spinning.
Mine is too. This is about
You're tracking all this.
I'm loving this.
She's tracking all this.
It's about 3 years before your mom passes.
Yeah.
So it's about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So,
her 87.
Van Voren was, who died at 92, was 82.
Yeah.
And this guy was 87.
Yeah. I love that that's on his Wikipedia page or whatever.
And he was stepping out at 87. And how
Do you want me to make it worse?
Well, yes, but how long had your mom been with him?
Quite a while. Quite a while. I want to say not double digits, but high single digits.
So they'd met and they'd been together for a long time.
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not even going to say this.
Go ahead.
I'm listening.
Okay. And now he was a World War II veteran who lost his leg 3 days before the war ended. He was a pilot.
Mm.
So not only was he 87, he
was down a pin.
He was down a pin.
Wow. Is there any part of you that admires this moxie?
The greatest generation.
Exactly. The greatest generation. Like, fuck. Like, playa.
And did your...
Seriously.
Was your mom really legitimately pissed and wanted revenge?
Oh, she... Well, because her whole thing was, as he would started to sort of... When she met him, he was starting to sort of slow down. And she gave him this life, and she would make him travel, and they would go to things. So it kind of it brought him back to life.
Mm-hmm.
So she was pissed. She comes in, he'd still be sitting in his apartment by himself.
I'm sorry. Was he? If I missed this, I apologize. Was he a celebrity of any kind before he met you?
No. Well, he was a socialite.
This is your example, Adam, like Pete Davidson, but you know, decades earlier, you know, you get with one level and you've leveled up, man. You're maybe Van Doren level.
But you see pictures of him in his past. He was incredibly handsome, very famous last name, big socialite, that very heady, blue, bloody New York kind of thing.
Well, I'm so glad I asked if your mom had found love again. He married into the Vanderbilt family. That was his second marriage.
He was a Lehman.
Lehman
Brothers.
The financial services.
Mm-hmm. And then he married a Vanderbilt.
Oh my God.
Who are these guys? How does this work?
And he was, by the way, hilarious and smart and charming and all those things. Like, you could see how in his past he was such a playboy.
Right.
And you could see all that. But my mom's like, oh, he's wonderful. And he's fine. They laugh, by the way.
And you liked him for her.
Yeah. You know, they laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed, and they had a great time together, and that made me really happy.
Yeah.
Was that her last boyfriend?
Yes.
Oh, what a... Wow. All right, let me hit Liquid IV here, because it's hot out there. Summer months are here. You need to be proactive. Keep your body fueled up and hydrated. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. Great flavors like watermelon, strawberry, lemon lime, no preservatives, and less sugar than an apple. I travel. As you hear this, I'm doing shows in Minneapolis tonight, and you can bet I got my Liquid IV with me, especially when you travel. Your time changes. You get up, you're stressed, maybe drink a little too much on the plane.
No.
Liquid IV. And in response to COVID-19, Liquid IV has donated 4 million servings to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. It's Liquid IV, right, Dawson?
Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Adam at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code Adam at liquidiv.com.
So right. I have a question for you, though. Mm. Are you back on the road? And if yes, are you happy to be back on the road?
Yeah, I never left, really. I mean, if you look up at the dates, I'm going all over the place. And during COVID, I would just go wherever, whoever would take me. So we did a few shows in Florida, a few shows in Texas, you know, Nashville.
Were you worried?
Arizona. No, I don't have any sense of that.
Mm-mm.
I don't know why. It's not in me. It's not really like, it's not a conscious thing to worry or not worry. I just get up and go.
So you have nothing you worry about. What do you worry about when you worry?
I'm not a big worrier. I worry about not performing like I could perform. And I don't necessarily just mean on stage. I just mean if I'm driving a race car or doing some event or doing something, I worry about not
meeting your own standards.
Yeah, standards are a little highfalutin, but like
you don't embarrass yourself.
Right. Well, so you don't want you always want to meet or exceed the bar you set for yourself.
Yeah, I did something for the Discovery Channel today before I came in. It was like 8 inventions that changed the world. Supposed to be a funny thing, and they sit you in a chair and they bring up this stuff. And I always just show up because I never want to walk out of there going, or have the guy who, you know, put it together go, it's okay, you know, Jeff Ross was funny or something.
Cut around him.
Yeah.
Something like that. So I just sort of...
There's something usable. We just have to figure out which it is.
Yes. I will pressure myself to show up and to make a good accounting of myself. But when it comes to COVID or many things that could potentially be life-threatening, I never think about them.
Okay, no thoughts. It's good. No fear of death.
Yeah, I don't look forward to it. But it's weird. I don't break it down that far. Like, that's the whole thing. It's not like I have no fear of death. Mm-hmm. I'm getting on this airplane and doing two shows in Florida. I'm just like, someone says, you want to do two shows in Florida? And I say, yes. And then I do two shows in Florida.
I understand that. The running joke in our family, and it's really not a good way to plot out a career and make major career decisions. The joke was always when someone would offer us something or offer my mom or offer me something, the first question was how much? And then we would ask, what is it? Because
I like that.
Because that makes a difference.
It's a foreign equation.
Yeah. It's just we don't want to know what and then how much. We want to know how much and then what do you want me to do?
Yeah. And now oftentimes, maybe unlike your mom, I'll go out and do gigs and come back and not know what I got paid.
Oh, no. She always was like, and I'm the same way, like, I need to see the cash on the dresser where I can, like, the entire time I'm working.
Do you bring your own dresser or is it just provided by the club?
It's just provided. I think it's the metaphor.
Oh, it's not an actual dresser.
I'm sorry. Leave the money on the dresser where I can see it.
That was stupid. There is no dresser.
Right.
It's metaphorical dresser.
It's metaphorical.
Understood.
Leave it where I can see it.
I'm a literalist.
It will encourage me.
Yeah, I come from a place where work was work and work meant by the hour. And, you know, I was just...
Do you ever figure out what you actually make per hour?
Well, I was talking to someone about this, can't remember.
Because very often in TV, you figure it out and you realize you're making less than minimum wage on some jobs.
I was talking about my poor friend, Philip the Juggler, who went to Branson. Somebody brought up Andy Williams.
Branson, yeah.
Your mom probably worked with Andy.
No.
Never worked with
Andy. Oh, she was Andy Williams.
Not Branson.
She wasn't allowed to set foot in Branson.
Oh, I thought she wouldn't want to set foot in Branson.
No, Are you kidding for the money they were all making with their theaters?
That's true.
She was devastated.
Yeah.
Do you imagine the Osmonds, Jimmy Osmond.
The merchandise we could have pushed?
Wait, sorry. Why wasn't she allowed in Branson?
As they used to say, too blue.
Oh, yeah, Branson.
That means
very
too
provincial.
Jew-ish.
And
they were
too bluish.
Yeah.
No,
exactly.
I talked to my buddy Phillips, now deceased, but he was a great guy, and he went to Branson. And he would say, like, if you go out and you have breakfast at the diner with a woman that's, like, not your wife, the town will gossip. Like, it was – this wasn't long ago, but there was a lot of that. Wow. Anyway – he used to open for Andy Williams, and I was in the mode.
Moon River Theater.
Yeah. Well, no, he wasn't in Branson yet. He would go on the road with Andy Williams. But I would make, at the time, I was probably making 11, 12 bucks an hour as a assistant carpenter, like junior carpenter. So everything, when you're poor and you're making 11 bucks an hour, everything gets seen through the prism of, if I could only get to 15 bucks an hour, mm-hmm. there'd be some guy on the job site. He'd be a plumber. He'd be making 27 bucks an hour.
And probably had insurance.
Shit, 27 bucks an hour. Holy shit. But when he told me he'd go out with Andy Williams, I said, you know, what do you do? I do 20 minutes every night. I open for Andy Williams. We do like 6 nights a week, travel around the country. And I'd go, how much you could pay? And he'd be like, $6,000 a week. And I'd be like, you get $3,000 an hour because if you do 20 minutes and you get $6,000, I broke his 20-minute juggling act like he'd be doing it 40 hours a week.
And he probably thought about, I never thought about that.
Never thought about, but yes, it was mind-numbing to me that he was getting thousands of dollars an hour.
Have you ever
juggle.
Broken it down? I mean, I know I've broken it down where I've been on shows where it's like, I'm barely making minimum wage on this. And usually, have you ever done shows where it ends up costing you money?
Well, the podcast for the first, 2 years?
Yeah, for maybe the first year and a half or 2 years of the podcast definitely cost me thousands of dollars.
Because I know,
bandwidth.
But with women, it's a little bit different too, because they'll be like, oh, well, you do XYZ. And you're like, yeah, great. And then you realize you have to pay for your own hair and makeup, you know, all that kind of stuff. Suddenly,
indeed.
Like, I'm, you know, right. net
now
zero.
You're in for, yeah, absolutely.
Why am I doing this?
Yeah, I did a stand-up gig. Well, this isn't exactly me getting ripped off, but I did a stand-up gig a few weeks ago, and then the guy was like, do you got PayPal on your phone or whatever it is?
Oh, God.
Like, hey, BevMo? And I was like, no. And he's like, can I BevMo it to you? I'm like, yeah,
actually,
give me some scotch.
Better payment for Adam.
Yeah, give me a BevMo.
On the road, my mother would make them give her the check beforehand.
Oh, before she went out there?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus
before
Christ.
The meet and greet.
Wow.
What do you think about people charging for the meet and greets? I think that's wrong.
I don't do it. I always meet and greet.
My mom did too.
I don't care. I'm there. They're there.
They've paid to see
you. They've already paid. And again, I crawled under buildings in downtown and dug footings with a coffee.
You should be so lucky to do a free meet and greet.
How bad is people want to say hi?
What do you think, though, about these people who charge for meet and greets?
I know a lot of people. I hear a lot of comedians do it.
A lot of musicians do it.
I know it's part of like an upgraded ticket package, right? For like a concert or something. Like, oh, go backstage and do a meet and greet or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not the VIP ticket thing where they charge 70 bucks instead of 40 bucks or whatever it is. And you get to gather in the whatever room after the show or something. That's kind of the club's decision. Like, I'm fine with that. But the charging 20 bucks a pop... I thought it was weird. You know, the weirdest one is like Pete Rose would go to autograph sessions and sign autographs, and it was 10 bucks for something
ball.
Flat,
yeah,
but
yeah.
20 bucks for something round.
Oh, that's good.
It took longer to ride on a ball or bat than it did on a headshot.
Speaking of Vegas, that was his gig for many years.
Yeah.
He'd be at the card shops in Vegas signing bats and balls and pictures. Yeah.
All right, let's take ourselves a quick break, and we'll come back and do a little bit of news with Melissa and Bald and Gina right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So we have an update on our buddy Ron Jeremy. Porn legend Ron Jeremy, he's been indicted on more than 30 sexual assault counts involving 21 victims dating back to 1996. That's according to Yahoo Entertainment. He's 67 years old now. He pleaded not guilty to all the charges in L.A. The alleged victims range from age of 15 to 51. He was arrested in June of 2020, charged with multiple counts of sexual assault, pleaded not guilty. More charges came in October of last year. He remains behind bars and is reportedly unable to post his $6.6 million bail.
He assaulted Mamie Van Doren in 1988.
Yeah. And then went on to Monique Van Voorn.
That's right. Long way from sleeping in the green room.
Does he need to be in protective custody, like a pedophile or a cop or something?
I would think it'd more like Cosby, like he's a hero to these men.
But there's a sexual component to
prison.
Yeah,
but I think it's the Ron Jeremy mystique.
Right.
Using the word very loosely. You know, we'll protect him in prison. But also, how could it have possibly taken so long to indict him?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, you know, it's almost, maybe it's like hiding in plain sight. Like, no, that's who he is on screen. That's not really who
he
is.
How many people? How many counts?
A lot. 30, yeah. I think.
Something.
30.
Yeah.
From 15 to 51.
Yeah. That's
what was he doing? Was he raping people?
I think that, can you pull that up, Chris? Because the... I don't have it with me, but
allegedly.
Alleged. And unwanted sexual advance, which doesn't necessarily mean penetration, but, you know, an aggravated harassment.
You know, I like that, aggravated harassment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, Cosby, OJ, now Ron Jeremy, all the heroes.
They're all going.
All the guys had the posters up.
All the Titans.
All the Titans.
The power they all had and just gone.
Let's
see what it says here. Pleaded not guilty to 12 counts of forcible rape, counts of forcible oral copulation, 6 counts of sexual battery by restraint, 4 counts of sexual penetration by a foreign object, 2 counts of sexual penetration of an unconscious or asleep person, and 1 count each of lewd act upon a child under the age of 14 or 15, sodomy by use of force, and assault with intent to commit rape. That's according to the L.A. County District Attorney's Office.
Cuomo should have brought him up at the speech.
Yeah. You know what I didn't do?
Here's what I didn't do. Beloved Ron Jeremy.
All I think of, I think of a lot of things. I think Ron Jeremy, but I'll never forget, what show was it where there was a bunch of celebrities on? It was a reality show, and he and Tammy Faye Baker became thick as thieves. And I loved that pairing.
Surreal House?
Maybe.
It sounds like one of those.
Yeah.
I remember Ron.
That's real life.
Ron had a musk.
A
big time.
Did he need soap on a rope?
a couple of them.
He had a very strong musk, and he not only that, but he had. Now look, I'm a guy that eats shit off the ground all the time. The dog days of COVID, I traveled, shook everyone's hand, took everyone's picture. I'm the kind of guy who, you talk about meet and greets after the show, I would shake everyone's hand, then I'd go into the green room, grab a handful of cashews, and sit on the sofa and eat them without washing my hands. That's who I am.
Still. But, I mean, that's just, by the way, that's nasty without COVID.
Right.
But
I never get sick.
Yeah.
Because I expose myself to stuff. I'm not a pussy. But anyway, Ron Jeremy has a musk, and he's one of these dudes. I don't know why this bothers me. They insist on wearing their hair long. Then they put some sort of relaxer or something in it, so it's always a little moist and stringy, and they always want to hug it out.
Yeah.
And you can't, if you put your hands around their waist, you're
so weird.
You're gayer than Waylon Madam and Flowers or whatever. You can't do it. You grab their hair, your hand goes inside, your arm goes around the back, so
the clothes a little lived in.
He always wants to hug it out. Yeah. He's always got the stringy hair, and he's got the musk going. So when we flew our Southwest flight to Vegas to do some show, he was on, I saw he was on like 14 rows in front of me, and I was sitting in the back with Mike August. And I was like, oh, Ron Jeremy's up there. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, he's going to want to hug it out. And I'm like, I don't want to hug it out because he's too smelly and his hair's too long. And so we just sat, I've told the story before, but I sat in the back of the plane. I was like, I'm just going to sit here and I will let this entire plane clear.
I'm going through to Utah. Yeah.
And I just sat there and everyone's like moving out, going by. Like, you want to go? Like, no, go ahead.
Still getting stuff together.
And I keep peeking over the seat in front of me and there's Ron. He's there. He's like 9 rows ahead and it looks like he's intentionally wasting time now, like he's got his bag down but he's like checking it on the seat or something, and I'm like, did he see me? Is he waiting for me? And now what do I do? I'm in some weird position where I'm just alone on the plane and he's alone and I don't want to stand up and I'm just going to keep sitting here. She's like, what if I get caught peeking over the seat? It's going to look insane. So, right,
2 words: emergency exit.
Yeah,
that's how you gotta go.
Have you ever had anyone come in here and smell really bad?
Thankfully, I'm here.
Until today. We had Lemmy from Motorhead.
Yep,
that's where I was.
No, yes, it was two in here.
Oh no, shit!
Lemmy from Motorhead was really bad, and a guy you could picture smelling really bad from Loveline days. George Clinton from the Funkadelics, like picture.
He's a big man.
Picture
big
that.
Hair.
Like patchouli cloud.
Picture what that smelled like.
Yeah. But what do? Do you just breathe through your mouth? Do you light a candle?
Yeah, there's really nothing you can do.
No, I agree. But I'm just saying, I always think about that. Like when you would be interviewing someone on the red carpet and everyone's leaned in super close because you have to be able to hear and you're like, wow, you need an Altoid.
Wow, do you?
Who? Oh, interesting.
Name me.
Oh, God, I can't even remember.
Was that smoking thing? Or
no,
that...
just, you know, also it's like hot and like, I mean, like people are sweaty.
They haven't eaten in 3 days.
They haven't eaten in 3 days point. And they're like, you know.
That's right.
God, the Oscars being in LA, it's either going to be hot and muggy or it's going to be raining every 5 years.
Well, you know, if you don't live here, you know, because all of a sudden all the women have slick back buns because they had to do something right away because it started pouring.
Right.
All right. What else we got, Gina Grass?
Josh Duggar. He's defending himself in court on child porn charges.
Just when you think we can't get lower than Ron Jeremy, we dive to the Duggars.
We're going
to
go subterranean because his excuse is that a coworker downloaded all this stuff onto his laptop. He pleaded not guilty to charges of receiving and possessing child porn in April, and prosecutors said the former reality TV show personality had more than 200 images of children on his computer. But wait, Duggar operated a used car lot. One of the employees admitted to investigators that he viewed porn via the car lot's Wi-Fi connection. He denied watching or illegally downloading anything like child pornography, but this person of interest also confessed to sleeping overnight at the car lot with Duggar's permission. So he's trying to get him to take the fall.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how you say thank you, running over to Josh Duggar's computer, downloading a bunch of child porn, and then sneaking away.
It's just such a disease. Like, I don't even know. Like, I feel sorry for these guys because obviously we're looking at it. It's a disease. I mean, we're looking
no
at it
like,
oh, I want to have pizza tonight. That sounds good. Like,
because you don't actually know it's wrong. You know, you shouldn't be doing it. Still, the drive to do it overtakes all of those you know, logical notions.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and there's been a lot of talk. I don't have the story in front of me, but of Apple now. There's some algorithm with your iPhone that it can alert authorities if you have child pornography on your camera, on your phone.
Oh, really?
And that's a big debate right now with privacy issues.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm fine with that.
But what if it's like, you know, you're giving your newborn a bath and it was so cute and you sent it to people? Like, I don't know what the algorithm
is. My guess is that it's flagged like pornography downloaded from the internet, not private photos.
Oh,
that's my guess.
Well, what about that kid from the Nevermind album? That guy's
suing. What do you think of
that? You brought that up. I would love to tell you about
that. I talked to Mark Garagos about it today.
Hold on. Let me tell people what we're talking about. This is great. The naked baby, photographed on Nirvana's breakthrough album Nevermind, is now accusing the band of child pornography, claiming they never got his consent to be photographed naked. He was a couple weeks old. The New York Post
reports...
If you
want to feel old, he's 30.
Oh, boy.
And he was 4 months old,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
The New York Post reports his Spencer Eldon. He's now 30. He filed a lawsuit against Kurt Cobain's estate and the band's surviving members, saying that they violated federal child porn statutes and sexually exploited him. He said he suffered lifelong damage from having his naked body shown on the album.
Sure. He was recognized in every subway. Wearing like a beanie and hoodie and sweatpants. Hey, isn't that the guy from the
Nirvana?
You know who you look like.
He was 4 months old. You're right. He claims he was forced to engage in commercial sex acts and that the band went back on an alleged promise to conceal his genitals on the album cover. He seeks damages and an injunction to prevent the band from profiting off of this album.
But now this is on the heels of, isn't it, like the 30th anniversary and they're all talking about re-releasing and all that.
Right.
But first of all, I don't know, the picture that we're looking at, he looks like Kristen Stewart. I just want to put that out there.
True.
And then I heard on the news last night, like, but apparently he has like a Nirvana tattoo and he's posed like the baby.
He's recreated the album cover. Yeah.
And so
I'm dying to know what Garrigo said.
He said nothing. He'll be laughed out of court. I always try to put some angles together that'll get a little traction with him. And he said, I think he said, basically, at some point, they're gonna say to him, it's provision 11 or something 11, which is
talk to your parents.
You can sue everybody, but if you lose, you're gonna have to pay their court, their court costs or their attorney costs, and then he's gonna drop it.
Well, and thank you for saying that, because my big question is just what Melissa said. Do you have a beef with the parents that handed you over for this picture, or did Kurt Cobain steal you in the night from your home and kidnap you and force you into this?
It was a friend of the photographer.
They got like $200, but that's a beef with your parents.
I totally agree.
Settled at the time, right?
Yeah.
By the way, you're also part of an iconic cover, and now they're saying they're going to cover. Like, he does not remember the conversations around it. He's going off what his parents said, probably in a panic, when he was a teenager, said, everyone can see my wee-wee or whatever. And they probably said, yeah, they promised. His parents probably lied to him.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Well, so Mark said there's nothing. And by the way, the tattoo, the Nirvana tattoo and the recreating the pose and stuff just torpedoes his case completely.
Yeah,
if he was upset, he couldn't perform sexually, like letters to his girlfriend in high school saying, I'm confused.
And I'm sorry.
Then there would be something.
Right. But if you can't perform sexually, do you know how much ass he's probably gotten being on the cover of a Nirvana album?
That's what I thought about, too. There are so many girls and men. We don't know what he's into. They feel like, I mean, I know my girls would be like, I had sex with the guy who was the Nirvana baby.
Yeah.
Like, that would get him action.
I banged a fat chick once because she said she was that B girl.
Yes, for Blind Melon.
Blind Melon.
Yes.
I don't know if she ever was.
No rain.
She was heavy.
Was she wearing glasses at least? Kind of looked like her?
Did she put the glasses on.
Did she have like little antennae?
Well, no. Don't make this into something silly. That was great affection there. But
I'm getting hard.
She was heavy set. She was redhead. She was heavy set. And she was putting the glasses on when she was, when we're kind of discussing things. And I was like, I can't disprove it.
Why would someone lie about that?
Yeah.
At the time, I couldn't think of any reasons. Yeah. Now I can think of some. But at the time,
use what you got.
I just did it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't enjoyable, and she was heavy set. But I thought that was the girl.
Yeah, you got to use what you got.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This is, let's just...
Should we move on?
I got another story.
Yeah, let's do that. You're getting uncomfortable.
Story.
Okay. Well, here's a little tip for everybody. Brian, I feel like you're going to have some thoughts about this. I know you have in the past.
This is before the internet. You don't want to just pull up my phone
and
check her wiki page.
I know. It seems like you have a lot of extra emotional baggage about this.
I've never, look, we talked. I don't care about COVID. I do care about being used.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's its own virus.
It's never really been settled. I think I want closure.
Yeah.
I don't know what the B girl's name was.
You want her to call in?
Samantha B. That was her, actually. You know?
This is
I need
she
closure.
She seemed like she put some weight on since the video, but
I understand why you need closure.
You feel used.
I feel like I've been orphaned, you know, by a mother, and I just want closure. You know,
yeah.
I just,
yeah.
I,
it's, I just say, wanna, it's a one-to-one comparison.
That's absolutely what I feel about, yeah, about having sex with the bee lady.
Yeah, one-to-one.
I say
allegedly.
Lady. Well, she was a lady.
Right.
Allegedly, right. Right. She would become a lady.
Got it.
Yeah.
How old do you think this gal was?
You know, when you're,
how old were you?
When you're that big, it's really hard to tell. You know what I mean? Because they don't have wrinkles, those people. They're
those
all
people?
Well, the big people. Okay. They're you know,
smoother?
There is a good thing.
Right.
There's perks. There's right. the ample bosom that, right. that comes with the, you know, the extra weight. Mm-hmm. And then the sort of taut skin, a lot of it, but it's, you don't see the wrinkles.
You put some thought into this.
It's hard. I'd say between 23 and 41.
That's a big range.
Probably.
Yeah. That could be a woman and her daughter.
With the women, it's hard to tell. Although I could actually kind of do the back math because the video was probably from 94, 93. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or somewhere.
Earlier than that, yeah, 92.
92.
Maybe 93. I mean,
well, she heard you on K-Rock. She knew what she was doing.
That's a good point.
I felt hunted.
I get that. I get
stalked,
that.
Stalked, hunted, but not stalked.
Yeah. Beyond stalked.
You were the prey.
Hunted. I felt like I was the prey.
Yeah. I'm mm-hmm. really sorry that happened to you on behalf of all the ladies.
Well, she wasn't as
objectified.
Big as she was. I think I could have turned the page, but it kind of left a mark. You know what I mean?
Scarring.
But again, it's the fact that I don't know.
Yeah. You'll
so
never know.
I just
know.
Want closure.
I understand.
What was that gal's name, Chris? Do we have it? Was it 92, 93?
Let me look. Sorry, we were working on this.
Oh, come on.
Please.
Oh, see, they do look alike.
Melissa, well
done. Is this
done.
Some JT LeRoy performance art that I'm talking about?
What are we seeing here?
Kristen Stewart and the Nirvana Kid.
Yeah, the bee lady didn't look anything like Kristen Stewart.
Don't they look alike?
Not the bee lady.
No, but they could be brother and sister.
No, but the
easily.
Bee lady was
the bee lady would be. Yeah,
she
no, this is
bulked up since
the cover.
Yeah,
or that could have just been the trajectory she was on. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's why they picked her.
Anyway,
okay, you want to do one more?
What's the story?
One more. I just want to know.
This is important. A dental therapist, which I had never heard of, it's like a cross between a dentist and a dental hygienist, has gone viral on TikTok for answering a question about brushing your teeth after breakfast.
Here we go.
Earlier this week, Anna Peterson from London uploaded this video. Just going to play you the clip.
You can't trust the Brits.
After breakfast, always before. There's two reasons for this. When you eat breakfast, your mouth becomes acidic. So what you're doing when you brush your teeth after breakfast is brushing the acid into the tooth, and this wears away the enamel. And brushing before breakfast protects your teeth from anything you're going to eat. Follow for more advice.
That's
dubious,
what she says.
Dubious at best.
She also says if you use mouthwash after you brush your teeth, you're washing away all the fluoride that's supposed to stay on
well,
your
teeth.
Well,
you're supposed to use fluoride mouthwash.
Oh, bro.
She's attractive.
Yeah, she's very cute.
She does not resemble the bee. I call her bee person.
Oh, boy. See, now I brush my teeth before and after breakfast.
Oh,
smart.
Oh,
look at those really? Whites. Look at those beautiful. See,
they're not
going to
get
whites.
You.
No, and I
teeth.
Brush my teeth after every meal. I'm smart. That person.
I do it in the middle because I'm like, I don't know what. I don't want to take sides.
Right. Here. Well, you're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's the bee lady name, Max?
Her name's Heather Deloach. She's, I think she's about 39 years old.
Oh, that would be about right.
Yeah,
that's right.
She's in the costume.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Yeah.
She's so cute.
Oh.
Does that look like her, Adam?
Adam, did someone lie to you and say they were the bee lady?
This person was not cute, so.
Oh,
you
that
got
person
used.
Is,
yeah,
that
you got
person's
lied to.
Attractive.
Yeah.
She's cute.
You may have been dude.
She was not an attractive person.
Someone told you a tale, my friend.
Yeah.
She told. All right, I'm not going to internalize it because I'm a victim. And
sure.
Hold on.
You're a survivor.
I'm a survivor.
No,
sorry.
You.
Sorry. I survived this bee attack. Let's call it.
And but you will not be silenced.
That was not that person.
Oh, boy.
Are you sure that's the bee person, Chris? Because if that.
They
okay.
call her Blind Melon's bee girl.
I mean, who else could it be?
Yeah.
Okay, so she was not at Whiskey Creek in La Cañada in 1994. Oh, sorry, 2004. I'm sorry.
Unlikely.
Unlikely?
I mean,
Okay.
Chris, I'm hard time tracking out a location.
Well, you know, I don't know what the internet can do.
You okay with this?
I think this is going to be about acceptance.
I will be okay.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, as a friend.
I will be okay.
The only way out is through.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not, I'm going to burden you. Let's just, you know what?
Let's move on. You know what?
Let's bring it home.
I'm going to help you.
Let's bring it home.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. It's warm where you're touching me.
Yeah. Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
She wanted to see my stinger. That's that I remember.
She said pollinate me.
That's what I remember. All right. Let me tell you about Blinds Galore. They got a huge Labor Day sale. Start soon. Everything is up to 50% off. Get your free samples today and get started, man. The biggest sale of the year. It starts on a Wednesday, September 1st. Blinds Galore believes you deserve high-quality, custom-built blinds and shades and shutters. Family-owned and run. Mother-daughter duo, by the way. Over 20 years they've been in business. Designer look without the designer price. You can do it all from your home. You can use their new Build-A-Blind tool. Lets you see exactly what it's going to look like on the screen before you purchase it. I have it in the edit bays. We have it in my house. Have it in the studio. They're the best. They're Blinds Galore. And their expert customer care will help you every step of the way. Either online or on the phone. It's Blinds Galore, right, Dawson?
Order your free samples today so you'll be ready when Blinds Galore's Labor Day sale starts September 1st and everything will be up to 50% off. Visit BlindsGalore.com today and let them know that we sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
Well, you can go to AdamCarolla.com for a bunch of live shows we've talked about all over the place. We'll be in Minneapolis tonight. The early shows are sold out. Maybe tickets for the late show, not sure. And you can watch 8 new episodes of Going Racing on Pluto TV, our chassis channel, 6A7. It's all free there, so if you like cars, check it out. Melissa Rivers, the podcast, Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and of course the book, Lies My Mother Told Me. Well, come back whenever you like, Melissa. This was fun.
Always fun with you.
So, until next time, I'm Crowford, Melissa Rivers, and Gina Grad, Mo Brian. Say it. Mahalo.
Everyone can see my wee-wee.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Gina Grad's on the podcast, Easy Listening. Bald Brian's on the film vault. The rest of us on the water cooler. And get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Every show sells out. Don't be left in the cold. Get your tickets now at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.